Your moral compass being realigned to a new magnetic north called truth. It used to be the principles of this world. It used to be the flesh. It used to be everything that made me happy. Now, don't get me wrong. I think you can be happy serving Jesus. And matter of fact, it's more genuine and more true and more lasting serving Jesus. The joy that comes from him. And not only is there a change in character, but I think when you are changed, there's a change in appearance. Some of you need to learn to smile. Just saying. I don't know how Ben worships. You know, he's given up the guitar. He's given up the git fiddle. Yeah, his finger's broken and he can't play it. So when that heals up, he'll pick the guitar back up. Now, where was I? Oh, appearance. Appearance. You know, sometimes I'm telling you the truth will change your appearance. We got something to live for. Amen? We ought to smile more. Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. Amen? I don't know if you've ever heard this guy before. His name's Vance Havner. He's a comedian kind of preacher guy back in the 50s. And I've read some of his stuff. And he's always talked about Christians need to stir the lemonade every now and get the sugar back to the top. Because you get a little sour. Can I tell you, you ought to smile more. It changes you. Let me tell you, truth brings joy. And joy will change your appearance. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God does not meet about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy. Put your joy on when you get up in the morning. Well, how do you do that, Pastor Larry? You start by thanking him that you belong to him. Amen. Thank God you know the truth. Thank God your sins are not counted against you anymore because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's a lot of joy in serving Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, listen to what he says. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I'm telling you, the truth will change your appearance. Abstain from it all. And the other thing that happens when you get this truth going on, it will change the structure of your mind. In other words, it'll change your mindset. Anybody ever had an attitude adjustment? Anybody ever? No, I shouldn't ask that question. What does that mean? The structure of your mind. Because some of us developed patterns of thought when we lived into the world and everything was about that and everything was filtered through that segment of our lives and everything was about that and through that and we measured everybody about that. And because we've measured everybody about that and then we come into the relationship with the truth, we are to do away with those scales that clouded our vision and begin to pierce and look through the light of His love at everybody and everything, and not only everybody and everything, but our own lives. Glory to God. You are not the dirty, rotten scoundrel you think you are. You belong to Jesus. You might have once been, but you're not anymore. Amen? Yeah. Some people filter their thought through their environments. Huh? Some people filter your thoughts through drugs and alcohol. You know, they tell me that once a cocaine addict, just one little sight of powder, just the powder, a white sugar, any kind of powder will bring that to your remembrance. Like, boom! Create that in you. Aren't you glad for the power of the blood of Jesus that can transform your mindset? Huh? Yeah. Some people filter all their thoughts through sex. And every woman they see, every person they look at is filtered through that lens. That's a bad way to live. That's a bad way to live. It's not, because here's what the deal. Sex is a gift from God. And the enemy always wants to torment and torture and abuse the gifts of God. You have to be careful with that. Some of you feel this, you filter through this in relationship to his kingdom. I like a small church. I don't want our church to grow because then I won't know anybody. There's already too many strangers around here. I mean, did you see them last Sunday? We just like it small. You filter everything that God wants to do through that lens of, we like it small. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Amen. Huh? God came to give you abundant life. Look at this. Acts, listen. Some of you, if you have that mindset, you would struggle with the day of Pentecost. Claiming to be Pentecostal. Acts 2:41, and those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls. How many? We are way too small. Huh? Acts 4:4, look at here. But many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men, talking just the men here, but the number of men grew to what? 5,000. I like four and no more. Aren't you glad God doesn't think like some people I know? Huh? Because God makes room for everybody. 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 Wouldn't it be a sad thing when we stand before God in heaven? I wanted to save 1,000 people in Tallahassee through Freedom Church, but you wouldn't let it. I don't like a big church. That'd be a sad day, wouldn't it? See, the thing about truth does, it takes the limitations off of the God who performs miracles. And it helps people to see and understand the dynamic of life is not tied to me. It's about what he wants and what he desires and what glorifies his name. Amen? Some of you filter your thoughts through your fears. And everything, can I tell you, the enemy knows how to work the fear in your life. I was thinking about when I grew up, man, we lived on the military base in Travis, and we'd jump on our bikes, ride, I don't know how many miles it was, all the way across the base to go to the pool, swim all day, drop on our bikes, and drive all the way back all day long. And I mean, it's like, and show up for dinner. Ain't no way that it ever happened today. Mamas are too afraid. Now, I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm not talking about being, but listen, there is a God who knows how to protect you. There is a God, you don't have to be afraid of that straw. You know, straws are dangerous. I don't know about you, but I use a straw on a milkshake and I get a headache. Because why? It works too good. I suck and stuff come in way too fast. I am afraid of straws. And that's kind of what happens to us. Things that really shouldn't matter become a high priority in our lives and get us all disjointed. And now we can't live in peace. Because why? We're filtering everything through fear. Can I tell you, the love of God will cast out all fear. Amen. God knows how to take care of us. And he will take care of us. Here's the other thing. You know the number one selling backpack today in America is the bulletproof backpack. They can't make them fast enough. Can I tell you, that's a sad world we live in. Huh? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we need to be gullible, but I do think we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in fear. And some people, they filter everything through race. Black, white, Puerto Rican, this, that, Mexican, Chinese. Everything's about race. Aren't you glad there's no color in heaven? Huh? I mean, sometimes everything is about race for them. And you know, I thank God my dad left West Virginia. This is the greatest gift he ever gave me. Well, maybe I should say he left his family in West Virginia, because not all West Virginians were like his family, I don't think. This is a great gift he gave me. That some of my best friends in school were a different color than me. You understand it? Because if you're not careful, you can do it. Now, here's what happened to my uncle. My uncle ran a gas station, and one night he got robbed by a black guy with a baseball bat, beat him up, and from that day on, he filtered everything through those lenses. Broke my heart, and it robbed him of living life. Can I tell you, Jesus knows how to give you new eyes, a new vision, a new vision. Yeah. And some people filter all their thoughts through politics. I feel sorry for you. Someone got all upset the other day. Pastor Larry, you just don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. I said, can I tell you something? What? The president is temporary. Even if it's two terms, it's temporary. The eternal principle is not who's in the White House. The eternal principle is who's on the throne in heaven. You and I have to understand and put it all in perspective. Does it matter politically, some things? Yes, I think we ought to be Christians and I think we ought to vote. But listen to me, voting and all of that is temporary. Don't get miscited to the real facts of life. And the fact is this, you and I must know the truth of his word and let the truth of his word transform us so that we love everybody. Well, I have to admit, though, if you don't vote like me, you are dumb. And I have to admit, that's a joke. So don't send me any emails, please. But we come to that position. We come to that position. We have to be very careful. You see, all of that, all of those filters represents the patterns of the world. And unless you allow the word to work in your life, your brain, your eyes, you'll never be transformed into the image of his son. And that's the end product. All of this comes through his word. Change comes through his word. This renewing, this reestablishment of truth, the reestablishment of something of value in our lives comes through us connecting ourselves with his purpose and his life so that we can really now live abundantly. That's what he came to give us, abundant life. Then it happens first in our mind. Our thoughts need the cleansing of his word. Well, I hate to tell you that, but everything you think is not right. I mean, that's a good wake-up call. It has to be filtered through the Word. Yes, sir. Amen? Yeah. Our thoughts need the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Our thoughts need the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, the children of Israel left Egypt, and they're walking in the wilderness, but they never left the slave mentality. In Numbers chapter 13, listen to this. Numbers 13, 32. And they spread among the Israelites a bad, talking about the 12 spies that went out, the 10 came back with a bad report, and the two said they had a good one. Listen, and the 10, of course, has to have everybody in agreement with them, so they go out and spread all this stuff. Isn't that amazing how people work? Huh? They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the Lord had the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw were great size. We saw the Nephilim. I messed that all up. There. And the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes. And we looked the same to them. We're just grasshoppers. Let me tell you something. When you forget the God you serve, you will be little. Do you hear me? The scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And no matter how many giants he may fling before us, we know this, the same God who gave David the sling and the stones and the courage to stand before a Goliath is the same God at work in us. It's not about our size, it's about the size of our God. Hallelujah! And he has made some promises to us. And don't let your thoughts keep you from his promise. Huh? Don't forget God is on our side. We fear change. And therefore, it's more comfortable to keep our thoughts than to change. Huh? There is a certain unhealthiness in change. Why? Because when we change, now the future is unknowable. We don't know what that change is going to produce. We don't know, and therefore we're kind of afraid of the wrong thing. Because when we stay where we've been, when we do what we know, there's no fear in that because everything's going to be the same. How many of you know Jesus came to change you? And he didn't only just come to save you, he came to make you more like him. And let me tell you something, that's going to take a lot of work. Do you understand that? It's going to take a lot of transformation, a metamorphosis of the Word of God. And if you're going to change, it means that you're going to have to take away the fear from the unknown of being like Jesus. Wow, I want to be like him. Be like him. Yeah, because what we have known becomes displaced with the new reality truth brings into our lives. What I have known has to be replaced by the truth for me to become into the new reality of his truth, his kingdom. And here I begin to know some new things. Number one, I know peace like I've never known it before. Hallelujah for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Psalm 37, verse 37, it says this, consider the blameless, observe the upright, a future awaits for those who seek peace. And that's what happens. When we start pursuing truth, a new future opens up to us. A new future of the power and the glory and the peace of God opens up to us. The other thing that opens up to us is the abundance of his grace. Forgiveness. The first person I learned to forgive or tried to forgive was myself. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Amen? Yeah. And then you have to forgive or learn to forgive those who have wounded you. I'm always very careful with that because there are some Christians who always want to quote the verse, you know. Unless you forgive, you're not going to be forgiven, so you better forgive them. And I think to myself, consider the wound. Because some people have had to walk through some terrible places. Some things that are more than they could bear. And the wound is so deep. I'm glad there's a merciful God who is patient with us so we can come to a place where we can forgive. You may not be there yet, but that's okay. I know this. The path of truth will bring you to that place of forgiveness, and He will empower you to forgive. He will empower you to do what you never thought you could have ever done. Why? Because He is God, and He loves you. Yes. The other thing that happens when you begin to gift discovery. I began to see my life as a gift. Think about that for a moment. You were born as a gift. Some of you are having trouble with that. You were born as a gift. Glory to God. I'm a gift to my wife. Why are you laughing? I'm a gift to my children. I'm a gift to my brothers and sisters. My sister's still struggling with that. Because I tortured her quite a bit growing up. She was the baby. I was the middle child. I threw as many roaches on her as I possibly could. Not really. They flew at her. I just put them in the air. You understand my problem. Now, where was I? Yeah. Gift discovery. I see myself. You got to begin to see yourself as a gift. Amen. The gift that I am. See the value in you. I am valuable to God. You are valuable to God. And only then can you see other people as gifts from God in your life. Then there's mercy. Scripture says you were not a people, but now you belong to God because of His mercy. Aren't you glad for His mercy? Huh? I need the worship team back up here, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy. He has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Glory to God. 2 John chapter 3, verse 3. "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love." Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we fear the healing that comes from the knowledge of God. But listen to me. God knows how to heal our thoughts. Look at it. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a brokenness that precedes my healing. How many of you know that to be true? You didn't get saved unless you first what? Repented of your sins. There's got to be a brokenness that happened. Here it is. David has sinned with Bathsheba. He's killed Uriah, her wife, her husband. And it's a mess. It's a terrible mess. And Nathan the prophet shows up and he tells him a little story. And David says, "Get that man, get that man." And Nathan points his little bony finger at him and says, "Thou art the man." and the truth of the moment. After he had killed a man, committed adultery with his wife, and a baby was conceived, the truth of the moment was David was guilty. The man whom the scripture says is a man after God's own heart was guilty. And in Psalm 51, there is this cry that comes out of a broken man. And in verse 17, he says, my sacrifices, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? That no matter what you've done, there's mercy. That no matter what you walk through, there's mercy. No matter what has happened to you, there is healing from his mercy to your thoughts. There's healings for his, through his mercy from your environment, from your history. Listen to me. There is no need to carry junk. His truth can set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Growth will always bring us to a place of stable maturity. This is what I know. Truth heals. Truth heals my mind. Truth heals my heart. Truth heals my soul. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And all the things, all the thoughts, all the fears, all the things that I used to filter everything through, gets washed away through the power of his blood as his truth heals my mind, my spirit, my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just thank God right now? Would you thank Jesus for his truth? Would you thank God for loving you? Would you thank God for making you a gift? Would you thank God for making you a gift?